in the limelight.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has started calling on the United States and NATO to expedite Ukraine's membership in the alliance, in a signal to Moscow in response to a buildup of Russian forces along Ukraine's border with Russia. Volodymyr Zelensky has said NATO is the only way to end the war in Donbas. It would be more accurate to say that talk of NATO membership for Ukraine is a good way to ensure that the war in the Donbas escalates and spreads. We're prepared for you an article written by Daniel Larrison, a contributing editor and weekly columnist for antiwar.com website. The piece is titled Keep Ukraine Out of NATO. Please stay with us for more of Daniel Larrison's article. The Biden administration risks creating a crisis with Russia with its ill-considered shows of support for the Ukrainian government. U.S. President Joe Biden expressed his unwavering support for Ukraine in a phone call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, and there are reports that U.S. ships may be sent into the Black Sea to send a message to Russia. President Volodymyr Zelensky has also started calling on the United States and NATO to expedite Ukraine's membership in the alliance, in a signal to Moscow in response to the buildup of Russian forces along the border between Ukraine and Russia. President Zelensky has said NATO is the only way to end the war in Donbas. Actually, it will be more accurate to say that talk of NATO membership for Ukraine is actually a good way to ensure that the war in Donbas escalates and spreads. To the extent that President Biden encourages the Ukrainian government to believe that they have US and or NATO backing in the conflict, the United States could be responsible for provoking escalation by Russia or reckless moves by Ukraine. The ensuing fighting would be disastrous for millions of civilians in eastern Ukraine. Nothing is more likely to set off alarms in Moscow than revived talk of NATO membership for Ukraine. If the US and NATO started moving towards approving Ukraine's membership of NATO, it is practically guaranteed that Russia would act first to prevent that outcome. At this point, reviving NATO membership as an option paints a target on Ukraine without providing them with any of the theoretical protection that might come with NATO membership. It would be far wiser to quash this notion publicly and stress the need for de-escalation in Biden's communications with both the Russian and the Ukrainian governments. President Biden's declaration of unwavering support for Ukraine is either empty posturing or potentially dangerous overreaching. The United States has no obligations to defend or support Ukraine in a conflict with Russia, and it has no vital interests at stake that would justify taking their side. Reflexively throwing support behind Ukraine has become a bipartisan pastime in Washington, but it has nothing to do with US or allied security. The Ukrainian government should be under no illusions that the United States will bail them out if they get into trouble. But President Biden's own words create confusion as to just how far the United States would be willing to go. This same mismatch of exuberant rhetorical support and an unwillingness to follow through helped set up Georgia for disaster back in August of 2008 in the war that followed, when the Georgian government under Saakashvili misinterpreted George W. Bush's fulsome praise for Georgia and his support for their membership in the alliance as proof that the United States would intervene on their behalf in a conflict with Russia. Saakashvili escalated the conflict in South Ossetia in the expectation that the United States would back him up, only to find that the US was never going to fight for Georgia after all. As Ted Gallen Carpenter concluded in a recent article, for all the previous expressions of support, The United States and its European allies were not willing to risk a dangerous, unpredictable confrontation with a great power over an obscure territorial dispute. If NATO still serves any purpose, it is supposed to be a defensive alliance that keeps its members safe from external attack. Trying to expand NATO deeper into Russia's backyard by inviting a country that is already at war would serve only to put other alliance members at risk and risk dragging the US and its European allies into an unnecessary war. Many of America's European allies recognize the risk of adding Ukraine to NATO. That is why they refused to approve a membership action plan for them back in 2008. And it is why many of these same governments will reject the idea again today. The best thing the NATO alliance could do for Ukraine right now is to close the door to future membership permanently in order to undo the mistake that NATO made by promising that Ukraine would eventually be allowed to join. It is amazing that it still needs to be said in 2021, but Ukraine's membership in NATO is never going to happen, and it would be in the best interests of all concerned to admit that. The outbreak of conflict in 2014 already showed that the United States and its allies weren't going to fight for Ukraine and wouldn't have been able to defend that country even if they had been willing to try. When they admitted the Baltic states, the alliance carelessly extended security guarantees to several countries on Russia's border that they could not effectively defend. Expanding the alliance again to include Ukraine would repeat the same mistake, but this time on a much larger scale, and Russia would call NATO's bluff before the ink on the map was even dry. Atlanticists like to say that Russia does not get a veto over alliance membership, but the Russian government has already demonstrated before that it can and will exercise the veto if it is sufficiently provoked. NATO shouldn't make the same mistake twice, and the United States should be discouraging the Ukrainian government from believing that it can end the conflict by calling for more Western support. Moreover, Russia says the United States and other NATO countries are deliberately turning Ukraine into a powder keg by increasing arms supplies to Kiev and inflaming tensions in the country's volatile east. The Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov was quoted by the Russian news agencies as making the statement recently following an uptick in violence between Ukrainian government troops and pro-Russian forces in the eastern Ukrainian region of Donbass. Sergei Ryabkov said, "The United States and other NATO countries are deliberately turning Ukraine into a powder keg. If there is any aggravation, we of course will do everything to ensure our security and the safety of our citizens wherever they are." Sergei Ryabkov added, "But Kiev and its allies in the West will be entirely responsible for the consequences of a hypothetical exacerbation." Ukraine, for its part, has accused Russia of amassing thousands of military personnel on its northern and eastern borders, as well as on the Crimean Peninsula. Meanwhile, NATO has called on Russia to withdraw its troops from the near Ukraine's eastern border, which the alliance claims is Moscow's biggest buildup of forces since 2014. Moscow says the military buildup poses no threat to any country and is for defensive purposes since two US warships are due to arrive in the Black Sea. Sergei Ryabkov said the US warships in the Strategic Sea had to observe safety distances, saying their deployment was provocative and that the risk of unspecified incidents was very high. The Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Ryabkov said, "There is absolutely nothing for American ships to be doing near our shores. This is purely a provocative action, provocative in the direct sense of the word. They're testing our strength, playing into our nerves. They will not succeed." Kiev and Moscow have traded blame in recent weeks for a spike in violence in the Donbas region of eastern Ukraine, where Ukrainian troops and pro-Russian forces have been fighting since 2014. The armed confrontations began when a wave of protests in Ukraine overthrew a democratically elected government and replaced it with a pro-Western administration. The majority in those areas refused to endorse the new administration in Kiev. The new Ukrainian government then began a crackdown on the mainly ethnic Russians in the eastern Ukraine, who in turn took up arms and turned the two regions of Donetsk and Lugansk, collectively known as the Donbas region, into self-proclaimed republics. Kiev and its Western allies accused Moscow of having a hand in the crisis. However, Moscow has denied the allegations. Relations between Moscow and Kiev further deteriorated when the Black Sea Peninsula of Crimea rejoined Russia following a referendum in 2014. More than 90% of those who took part in the referendum in Crimea voted in favor of unification with Russia.